Hi, my name is Roy Collin, and welcome to the show. I've also got Fight Podcast, The Awakening Podcast, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions, the Crypto Podcast, talking about all things blockchain, NFTs, crypto, the Meditation Podcast, talking about all different types of meditation, but there's also meditations there from 1 minute to 2 hours. And the other one's the Learn Polish Podcast. So if you're interested in learning Polish, you can do that. And the other one is Speaking with Roy Collin. And I just have guests from around the world talking about either public speaking or also about their book or just general life in general. And you find everything on bio.link/podcaster. I'm also a podcasting coach. And you see the QR code there. And it's also on my link as well. And if you're interested in actually going on some podcast shows, I'm helping people doing that. Or if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com. He helps people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. So be sure to check him out, danielpacker.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Crypto Podcast. You can find all our episodes on thecryptopodcast.org. My guest today, from Peru, singer, harpist, composer, model, artist, songwriter, and she's also ventured into the world of NFT arts. Please welcome Catherine Gerard. Did I do it justice?
Yes.
So, I suppose, I mean, I've touched. You're doing a lot, but you might just kind of let the listeners know a little bit more about you, because I know that you've got, is it half French, half Peruvian heritage as well? So you might just kind of give us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so my father is French, my mom is Peruvian. I was born in Peru, and I always knew that I wanted to do art in my life. And so I touch upon several things. And at first I thought I would be an actress, but then I realized that I really wanted to pursue music as a main job or a main passion. So at the beginning, we didn't have much resources to afford having lessons, and we lived very far away from the main city where everything happens. So I had to be self-taught, basically. So I bought books and found online courses to try to build myself musically on my own. And then when the situation got better, I was abroad studying, etc. As soon as I could, I started paying myself singing lessons and then harp lessons and then composing lessons until right now I am preparing for a program that I will start on April that is called Momentum, and it's for learning to create soundtracks for movies. So I love animation, I love acting, storytelling. So creating soundtracks for movies is just looks like the next logical step for me. It's so amazing that I can have that opportunity to learn that.
Brilliant. So, I mean, obviously your English is excellent. You probably, your native language is Spanish. And are you able to speak French as well?
Yes, I speak French because of my dad and the fact that I studied in the French school in Peru. So, and then I lived a couple years in France as well. And then I lived in Netherlands. And in Netherlands, you either learn Dutch or survive with English. So I survived with English. And there's where I really improved a lot. And then since I consume a lot of content in English, and then I do also, I create a lot of content in English. It just a lot of practice, right? It just became like that.
And I suppose because a lot of people are learning languages, I mean, I've got a podcast to learn Polish. And I mean, I know that I had French in school, but I just couldn't, yeah, it didn't work for me. And I regret not being interested in it because I didn't realize the advantages. But what kind of tips could you give people that helped you with the languages? The fact that, you know, that you're able to speak, you know, at least three languages.
I would say the first most important thing is to try to immerse yourself in that language as much as possible. Like if you can afford to go to that country and stay a few months, do that. If you cannot do that, try to find events and things where you will be absorbing that language. And at first it's really difficult because you don't understand anything, you feel like you don't fit in, etc. But That's temporary, and you need to be willing to go through that initial barrier, and then very fast things will come to you. So that would be the first steps to try to find people. Now we have the internet, so it's easier to find a group where you can write and try to speak this language with other people who speak that language. The second tip I would give is really to reconciliate with grammar. I know that in a school is made like a very boring subject, and then you have a lot of like courses of languages that promise you that you will learn without grammar. In my experience, I find that this is not true, because grammar is literally the structure that builds the language. So you need to know. And if you know your grammar on your own language, it will be easy to understand another language's grammar, because the structure, the idea of grammar, the verbs, the adjectives, etc., all the languages have that with a few differences. But we all have a verb with a past, present, future tense. Is what changes is how each language build that, right? So to embrace grammar and to learn as much vocabulary as possible, try to speak as much as possible, to listen videos, podcasts, movies, as much as possible on that language. To really, the most valuable thing I can say is immerse yourself in that language as much as you can.
Excellent. I know that I had a guest, a jazz player, that was doing the NFTs with his music and everything. And I believe it's kind of the art that you're doing and using AI. But I suppose let's kind of give me a bit of your crypto journey, blockchain technology that you understand when you got into understanding NFTs.
Okay, so at first, when I started hearing about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, blockchain, etc., since I have developed more of a creative mind, everything that is numbers and technical stuff, it's a bit harder for me to understand, simply because I haven't practiced. And so I was like, just hearing about that, trying to understand the basics of that. It looks like a good thing on the surface. It's just hard for me to dive really deep into that. And then NFTs came, and I just heard that it was amazing for artists, etc. And at first, I was having a hard time understanding or grasping the idea of an NFT. So I got into the community on Twitter, X, and I started going to spaces and participating there and telling people, well, I'm new to this. I just heard it's good for artists, but I want to know why. How does it work? Can you teach me? And so the community is very welcoming, and they have no problem explaining you, giving you resources like read this, read that, etc. Like, I did it this way. You can do that. You can try this. You can try that. And also, the more you grow and you kind of network on that community, like collectors start to recognize you. And there's also lots of spaces that are done specifically to connect artists with collectors, and you present your piece, and then someone can buy it if they like it. So it's a very, very amazing experience. They also organize contests sometimes, or even like sort of concerts, kind of thing, where you literally play live on the spaces. So sort of like a concert. And I was doing a lot of that and learning step by step. And then I discovered why it was so important, how it brings the value of the art back again, and brings the control back to the artist, and generates this direct relationship with your fans, etc. So I started experimenting with that, and it's definitely something I feel every artist should learn how it works and have it as a tool. Like something more for their brand.
And are you kind of, because I've seen on the website the two different pictures of the heart with the AI. Is it something that you're planning on doing with the music as well? Because I know some of the musicians, because I mean, I've heard your music on Spotify. It's beautiful, your beautiful voice, and the sound is lovely. But I know that, when you're kind of working with, big corporations, you're lucky to see a fraction of it. Whereas when you're doing it as an NFT and you've got the fans and they're paying for it, you get it directly. And then if they're reselling stuff, there's like the royalties. So is it something that you're looking at to do your music as well on the NFTs?
Yeah, I knew from the start that I wanted to stay independent because labels are, for one, not as much necessary anymore now that you can reach an audience directly on social media. And second, that means that you can create a niche of your own where people who like you will find you, and you bring more value to that people. So it's a smaller community, but you don't need to be known by millions and millions of people to actually make a living of your music. And then even if you are with a label, you need to have a sort of entrepreneurial mindset and be in control of your career, because the problem also is, and labels know that, is that many artists are looking for them to change their lives, like, oh, when I sign with Universal or whatever, everything will be solved for me, and they will make me famous, like if it wasn't their responsibility anymore. But all they're thinking about is their earnings, their benefits, they not losing money. So if they create a single for you and that single doesn't go as they expect, aka blowing away, then you're done. And maybe you have signed a 5-year contract ex of exclusivity and you cannot do anything else, and they will put you in the drawer and you won't grow, and you will lose 5 years of your career because they just decided that you are not worth it economically to keep investing resources on you. So whereas it's more of a growing process where you start small and then you grow your community, your brand. And so I think we need to be responsible of our careers. And we don't really need them anymore if we are willing to learn marketing, to learn branding, not only and put ourselves out there. Like, it's not only about being a good musician. There's plenty of excellent musicians that no one knows about because they are on their four walls just composing. And obviously you have to have great music because also, the market is full with garbage music that is just easily digestible. It's like junk food, junk music is the same.
With the
But
auto-tuner as well. So like there's something people can't even sing, but they're using the auto-tuner and it sounds perfect, but you'd know it. And I don't
yeah.
know, I can't understand why people are following that kind of music than somebody that
Yeah.
has a talent.
Yeah, it's a lot of marketing. The thing that we have to understand here is that labels have, especially the big ones, the three big ones, Sony, Universal, and Warner, they have so many resources, so many millions to spend. They can reach everywhere. And so that means that the average person is going to be exposed to a certain product finally, so many times a day, everywhere, in stores, on the internet, on YouTube. They push it hard. They have partnerships with platforms that push those artists even harder. And so many times you have repeatedly listened to them and about them that many people, I'm sure many people will genuinely like that because everybody has their own taste, but also many people just know that exists. They don't know there's more in life. They just because they are busy or sometimes lazy or whatever, just to focus on their lives, they don't do that active research. So they just receive what is given to them and they think they like that, but that's all they know actually. So our work is to be like a grass, how you say, like underground movement, and being strategic, knowing that, okay, we don't have those millions and those resources and those partnerships. So obviously our strategy can't be the same, But you grow your community from the ground up. You do networking, you collaborate with other artists as well. And you follow the disruptive technologies like NFTs, and you try to build it like away from that. And the people who have to know about you, they'll know about you, and that's what you need. And you can provide more value in depth to those, to that smaller community, make them feel like they are close to you, in rather than being this star that is inaccessible, that no one can touch, you know. So it's different approach totally.
And I'm just curious because, like, I mean, I grew up in an age where we had cassette tapes. I mean, then there was records as well, obviously, but then the CDs came along. But what happened is when you were buying an album or an EP, because I know you've released Sola, the Alone EP, it was a case of sometimes you might like one song and then you think, oh, this is a poor album. But the fact that you paid so much money, it could have been like, you know, when you were younger, it could have been like, you know, your allowance or even a few weeks of an allowance. And you gave it time and you kept playing it. Whereas now we're in a different kind of era where Spotify, they're just next. It's like, you know, like TikTok, you know, they're just flicking, flicking, flicking. And is it like, how does an artist create the music that people are actually giving it a chance? Because I think sometimes it has to grow on you.
Yeah, many artists fall in the trap that, and many have burned out because of that, that they need to, you know, to keep the pace, that is this fast rhythm that it has, like you have to be releasing things every week or something to stay relevant. And they don't understand that it is not about the music only. It's about the culture that you create around your music and about yourself as an artist, as a brand. Like the brand is who you are. And so make it also about yourself, about being that friend that the, so it's not the artist and their fans, is I'm your friend and we are a tribe, we are like a family, right? And so you show parts of your personality, of your day-to-day, of the behind the scenes on how you compose that music, that because fans are hungry for that. They want to know, they love to see those behind the scenes and how the things that it makes them feel closer to you. And so it focus more on that rather on releasing music and music and music, like it was, I know, bread or something that you are doing every day. Because the problem is that once you burn out, to the quality is not gonna be, it's, I can't conceive, like I take time for doing my music. I just try to pay attention to so many details that I know I wouldn't be able to pay attention to if I was trying to release one thing every week. So, of course, you can learn to be more efficient, and you learn when you learn how to use your softwares, etc. You, the time it takes, it becomes shorter, but not as short. Like I don't, I see people who are like in the morning I compose, and then in the evening I mix, and then and the following day I can do another song. And it's, I just, I personally, for the type of music I do, I can't conceive that rhythm. So I would say it's better to take more time into doing the songs and have really high quality songs, and push heavily on your personality and the things, the value you have to bring as a person and not only as a musician, because that's also like a mistake that I made at the beginning. Even though I do so many things, I just close myself, like I'm a musician, I do music and I can't go over that. And then I realized that's a mistake. Like I have so many resources. I do all those things. Why not be in that brand of this sort of global artist, in the sense where I do a lot of things and I put everything in the service of art that goes beyond the music. That's why soundtracks are also very interesting for me, because then I am starting in on my YouTube channel to do like sketches, like funny sketches of relatable situations. Like today, for example, I'm preparing one that is going to be called Why, when you hate Valentine's Day. So it's comedy and it's like a mini movie and it's gonna have a soundtrack. So it's one an excuse for me to create more music, but I also can act and I can write a sort of a screenplay and it's and record it's and edit. So it's more complete, I feel. So if you have other talents beyond the music, use them. Like be a complete a global artist. I don't find a better adjective for that.
Excellent. And with the art that you were creating for the NFTs then with AI, is it pictures of yourself that you've got converted, or is it just that it generates it? Because it kind of looks like you, but I know it's not you. It's a so is it that you're giving it pictures and telling it to create an AI version of that?
No, so the pictures I did take them in a studio with professional photographer and with a white background. And then what I found the best way for me to work with AI was when Photoshop introduced it in their latest version, and you have a feature where you can get AI generated backgrounds, and that's great because it will generate whatever you want. And it's going to be a background, so kind of respects the subject more or less. You have to go around with like duplicate the layer, and so I have me on top because sometimes it can get my hands weird or things like that. But you go around that, and then it becomes a sort of AI assisted compositing of a picture. And so I do the background, and it's great because it will make it with the right proportions, the right perspective, the right color palette. And to me, it's like a great starting point. And then I bring other types of pictures and textures, and I end up doing a photo montage. So the me in the pictures is really me, but the backgrounds is AI generated plus many things that I put to enrich that and to make it come to life more, let's say. So that's how I use it. And for the NFTs, the project I'm working on, it's a collection of one-on-ones called Harp Dreams. And so it's gonna be little pieces written for harp by me that last less than a minute with those visuals. Since NFT art was primarily for visual artists like illustrators and painters, things like that, like you can put the music in, but it always has to have like it's not much different than an album, right? You have the music inside the album, but the album has a cover art, so it's kind of the cover art for that story that I'm telling with the harp in that little piece that I wrote. So it's gonna be a collection of those.
And have you decided which platform you're going to use? Because there's so many out there, and I see some are disappearing. It seems to be like at one stage I was going, creating something like similar to that. It was like moving art, but having music in the background. And it was like I got brilliant artists involved and everything, but I just felt it wasn't the right time because there was so much fraud going on, and like even OpenSea and a few of the others, it didn't look right. So I just kind of waited. I still got the stuff ready, but I'm just curious, have you kind of determined which one will serve you best?
Yeah, well, actually, my first experiment with that I did 10 copies of Guerra, Odio y Dolor, which is War, Hate, and Sorrow in English, one of my songs that is on YouTube. It was made on a platform called Meme Songs that for a few months I disconnected from the NFT community. And when I came back, they told me they completely disappeared. People were like, what's going on? So I know that happens a lot. So I, for now, kind of switched to Foundation, which seems to be pretty solid and the interface looks really nice. But the goal for me is to have my own custom minting page, which is much better because you can optimize it to be more efficient in terms of resources, in terms of gas fee. So for those who don't know what gas fee is, it's like a little fee for the miners that when you are creating a NFT, you have to pay that little fee for the miners, right? And so you have to have that. And when you, if you want to, for example, be based on Ethereum blockchain, having they have very high gas fees. So sometimes, most of the time. So having your custom website, actually, you can make it more efficient and have less gas fee simply because it's your own and it also works best, it's faster. You can also brand the website so it all looks the same. It looks in brand and it doesn't look anymore like that shady website that you click somewhere and you find yourself on OpenSea, for example. I really detest OpenSea's interface. It looks so weird. Looks really like a strange side. It's not a modern aesthetic at all. I don't know. But having your own custom page can solve all that. It feels like a continuation of your normal website. So that's my goal, to have my own page.
And just curious then, with like the modeling, is that something, because I know you see people, they take pictures that can be used in different things, like on Pixabay and all these, there's a lot of different ones. Is it something that could be done on as an NFT as well, that people, buy a certain picture and can use it, but then if they resell it or whatever, you get a royalty? Is there anybody using that for the modeling side of things?
Normally how it works is that you can pay your photographer for the session. So once you do that, the pictures are yours and you edit them the way you want. So I rather do that. I pay the photographer their fair amount for the time and the effort, and then the pictures are mine. Also because it's not a collaboration where the photographer comes with an idea and then you come with your idea, so it's like his pictures for your pictures type of situation. This is more, I want to do this, so I pay you your time, the studio, etc. So everything is covered for them. So now the pictures are mine. It's my idea, my concept. So I tend to do that mostly. And then of course, in the NFTs, you can activate the royalty. So whenever a collector resells that, I get a royalty of that, which with a master on with a label, it's almost impossible to do because you earn with a label, you earn money by the selling of the catalog, meaning the selling of the albums, but they own the master. So that's why it's so unfair, because they give you an amount of money up front, but it's a loan. It's not a payment. It's a loan where this half is for living, half is for the production of the album. And then when and still you can, if you are lucky, you can have, let's say, 20%. That's You are so lucky if you have 20%. Like, you are a genius of negotiation with those people. But let's say, for the example, you get a 20%, they lend you 200,000. And from there, half is for you, her, for living during the production of the album, and the other is for the production of the album. And now they start selling and promoting the album, and all the money that gets in first is gonna be go to them to recover their 200,000 they lent you. So you are seeing zero until, if you are lucky, once you have paid your debt off, you then start earning 20% of everything. That so at first they are getting 100% until the loan is paid. And so you would say, okay, but if I'm paying back, then the master is mine, because yeah, you produce the master with the money that you lent me, but now that I gave you the money back, then I should own the master, right? Well, no, they keep ownership on the master, which is like the original. Like, back in the days, it was the red vinyl that was the original carved thing, and from there all the copies will be manufactured. So now the modern equivalent to that is the WAV file, the WAV file that you shouldn't send to anyone. That's like your original thing, and that's like your master. And so the label owns that. And if, for example, a brand that you don't like comes and they need music and the label happens to use your song, one, you cannot say no because I don't support that brand. It doesn't have my values or whatever. So that happened to Bruce Springsteen. Like he saw one of his songs in a brand advertising he was totally against, and he was pissed off because it was a label situation. He had no control over that. And for second, which is the worst, is that from the money that that advertising generates, since it's the master and not an album, a copy of an album, the artist perceives zero from that. So you can have a Joan Jett song on an advertising, and then I am wondering, did she even get? I don't know, because I don't know if she's independent right now, or if that's still under the, like, her old famous songs from the 80s. Like, is that still under label's control, or does she have the control over that? So maybe you see that song in many movies and in many advertisings, but maybe she's not perceiving, I don't know, anything from that. So that's the industry, how it used to work. And now you have an NFT that you upload, and maybe according to how big is your brand, you can sell for, let's say, 300 euros, which doesn't sound as much, but is 300 euros clean that come directly to you from a fan that wants to support you. So that's a huge difference. And without being a slave from a label. And I think it's very important that fans know how that works. Like, I remember I was explaining that on a TikTok live, and the fan told me, now I understand why, I think it was Prince entering a meeting with all the managers and label representatives with letters written on his forehead saying slave. Like it was his protest, and no one was understanding why he was doing that. And once I explained them how it works, they were like, oh wow, now I understand what he was doing at that moment. It's so sad because it happens to the big ones as well.
And with the harp then that you're playing, because I like it's used a lot in Ireland. We even had it on our money, the harp symbol, like it, because I saw the one, I don't know, it was on TikTok or something, that is like a grown one. So there's different types. Yeah, there's one that you play lying down as opposed to the one that's kind of up. So is it different versions that you play?
No, I think you are talking about my electroacoustic harp that is very small that I bought recently for traveling purposes. That one is very small. It fits in an overhead compartment of an airplane. It's a brand that has happened quite recently, a few years ago, that is called eHarp. So they created that concept to democratize the harp, let's say, to bring it to more people. And so I was just tuning it. It was laying flat because it's easier to tune that way, but then you play it just like the normal harp, vertical, like all.
Okay, and I mean, I was looking where it was actually, because I wasn't sure it was actually originated in Ireland, but then I'm hearing Egypt. What have you kind of come across? Where did the harp come from?
So the harp is, if not the most ancient instrument, is one of the most ancient instruments of human history. There's data of harp being used thousands of years ago. So yeah, Egyptians, Babylon, etc., did have their versions of harp. And then, if I remember correctly, it might have traveled to Europe in the very ancient times, with the commercial exchange, even slavery exchange. So, and then Europe adopted the harp, and then several types of harp in different regions have developed. The Greeks have their versions of lyre and harp. And then it's a very Celtic, it was in the Celtic culture also, the harp. And then, you know, when the Spanish, the Europeans went to America, they would bring the harp with them, and it will mix with our sound and our culture. And so on, all other types of harp would develop. Like here in Paraguay, they have the Paraguayan harp that has a few differences with the European lever harp. Like it's very different. Like the resonance box has a different form, a different shape, and they have, like, for tuning, is the pegs really look like guitar pegs. It's a very special instrument. And the Peruvians also, they might have a similar type of harp, so it diversified a lot. Then you have the concert harp, that is the biggest one with pedals and in the bottom to change keys. And then you have a very ancient type of harp that has two rows of strings that cross like that, and so you somehow play that. It's a very ancient instrument that is still being played. Yeah, so there's so many types.
And because I've heard that they've modified the frequencies of music, and that it's not as kind of beneficial to the body. And is the harp one that would have been kind of better for the frequencies when it's played, that it's better for the body, or are you aware of any of that?
Yeah, I'm aware of that, of the theory of the 440 versus 432 hertz. So basically, each note has a frequency where it's an exact number, like 440 is A4, octave four. And then each note will have a specific number of a frequency that basically says how low, how high that note is. And it's like a very exact number. And so before that, like way before in history, there was no that awareness of those frequencies. So you could have an orchestra with different instruments tuned to different frequencies, and that must have sound funny. And also there's several frequencies that were used, like not only 432. That's for both spiritual and physical uses. Like that's not the only one frequency. This could be any frequency, and still today there are some orchestras that will tune in 432, 442, etc., like different. It's also cultural things. Apparently, there was a standardization on the big after Second World War to 440, and there are videos where they compare 440 against 432, and you see the comments, and it's unanimous. Everyone says 432 is more relaxing, it sounds more round, etc. And the reason why it sounds like that is because it's lower in register, it sounds lower. And lower sounds tend to relax us, and high sounds tend to stress us, because we are, evolutively speaking, we are hunters, and preys have high pitch. And so when we hear high pitch, like we enter in hunter mode, whereas low pitch relaxes. I do believe in the spiritual connection with that, because it's vibrations, and the vibrations go through your body. You don't only listen with your ears, you listen with your entire body. Like a low boom, you feel it here. It makes you vibrate really. The also lower waves are like bigger, so you really feel it, like a wave in the sea. You feel it going through you, and obviously that affects you. Like I can't conceive that doesn't affect you. But I can say that 440 maybe has more of a of a practical reason that I feel like since we have a lot of electrical digital instruments and we work with computers nowadays, it feels to me like more stable for that end than 432, for example. Like it feels like the pitch is a little bit less stable on that frequency. But you have other frequencies as well for healing purposes that, for example, 432 is more for relaxing, calming stress. And then you have others like 880, I think, that is more for, I don't remember anymore, but you have for healing your energy field, for letting go on the past, for so many different things. And you can actually choose which frequency do I need right now, and use them. So it's, that one is like the most famous, but you have several others. So it's important to keep rational with this, because it's a much complex situation than just 440 or 432, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect you, you know? So
I've also heard that, like, say, the Bluetooth speakers, that the sound is coming from them. It's totally different to when you have the timber speakers, because, like, I had an old system that I shipped from Ireland, and you notice the difference in that. Apparently, that's supposed to be better as well, the way the vibrations go through timber, as opposed to the one speaker kind of Bluetooth system.
Yeah, it is because the low waves, they are so big and heavy. They literally need like a physical thing that pushes them out. And so the good big speakers will have cones, literal cones that do that when the wave is going through them. And you can see them, they literally beat like that, and that's why I think it's called like making beats. It's moving like that, and you need, that's why when you're mixing, you need that to really have an idea of how the low end of your song is sounding. And also, like we have, like throughout the years, we have evolved to want more and more bass on our songs. And when you have a powerful bass end on your song, you feel like it's better, like it sounds better. It has because our ears have not evolved to be good at distinguishing low sounds. Like we have evolved to understand like human voice, other human voice, and maybe high-pitched sounds because of praise, etc. So we have a very good hearing in those middle frequencies, but then low frequencies, we are not as good. That's why it's so important to reinforce low end. And maybe when you are using those speakers or analogical gear in general, like the low wave has something physical to grab, to hold on to, and really get to you, and you have this feeling of a better low end, and it feels fuller and better sound to you.
Excellent. And I know that I don't know, is your project still going that you were doing a camper van for kind of nomadic life? Because I think you were in Spain and Greece. Is that something that you're still doing and putting together? And what's the plan with that?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Many things happen. I will probably be more around South America, so I probably, I don't know. It was such a crazy thing, and still would like to have that experience. We'll see, because with the movie soundtrack composing, you need a lot of resources of memory, because you work with very heavy libraries and hundreds of tracks. So I'll see if it's possible to make that compatible, maybe with a bigger vehicle or something. So I haven't discarded the project 100%, but it really needs to, I really need like another perspective, another, I learned a lot from that one, and it's not like lost forever. Like The camper van is being finished, but I have to decide whether I sell it in Europe and then I start all over here in South America, or if I send it by a ship from Europe to South America. So I'm considering pros and cons of each and see how I can marry those two things together.
Yeah. And just finally, with the social media, because I see, you've a big following on TikTok, Instagram, you've like 21,500. The TikTok, you've got like some 30.9, and you've YouTube. So, like, with all the different things you're doing, which ones are serving you best? Because I mean, no matter what people are doing, they're doing all these social media, and it's all great, but at the same time, it's a time suck, and then you have to kind of engage. So how do you find what serves you best?
I have been battling with that a lot because I have bursts of consistency of posting a lot and sometimes not seeing much results. So then I will spend months and months without posting anything. Also for YouTube, like it's my favorite. Like I feel much better on YouTube where I feel I can develop a speech, let's say, in a deeper way. So TikTok to me, it's like I did it a lot, but I never liked it really because it's like fast, disposable content that you have to do. It's going through a lot of changes. I don't know where it's gonna lead that. And also, it's heavily based on trends and songs that are already famous, and you have to use those in order to grow. Like, not at every video, but mostly it's like on YouTube. I feel like, especially now, I started seeing on my suggested videos that are from new channels that have like 300 views, and they are suggesting those. And it's so an amazing opportunity to grow on YouTube right now, for new channels, because they really push them, pushing them, because all the other platforms are like, if you already have a huge following, you'll be fine. But if you're starting out, it's nearly impossible. It's every time it's harder. So YouTube, if you like to develop like a deeper, more mature maybe speech, you can grow. I don't think it's saturated at all. But it took me a long time to find out what I wanted to say, how I want to say it. Like, I didn't want to be like a sort of an educational channel. I love that, but it's not that I love, I find that people who are passionate about teaching is so amazing, but it's not how I want to do my TikTok. Like I want to keep on like art and entertainment. So because of narrowing myself to I'm a musician only, that actually made me take longer to realize what I was supposed to do there. And now I was like, I was in front of me all along. Like I do theater, I act, I love comedy. It was, and then it's like movies are meant to have that message that you send to the people, right? Like your vision, etc. So why not doing that through film? And now that I realized, like I found out what I want to do finally, it was so, I look back at it and it was in fact so obvious, like what I had to do. So I'm glad that I opened my mind. And that I'm rescuing back all those things instead of putting them aside and using them all for my project. So yeah, that's the plan now.
Excellent. Listen, Catherine, thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. You might let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, everywhere on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I'm with the same name, Catherine Gerard, which is CATH ERINE, and then the last name is GAIRARD, and all the same name, the same picture, impossible to miss.
I'll make sure I put all the links, all the social media on both the audio and the video. Thank you very much, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So that's all for the crypto podcast and also the speaking podcast, because I think this is relevant for that as well. So you'll find all my episodes on thecryptopodcast.org or speakingpodcast.com. Until next week, take care. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, and share with your friends. And you'll find all my shows with the QR code or bio.link/podcaster, as well as my podcast coaching. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com, helping people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. Also, if you'd like to go on a podcasting tour, I can help you do that. And if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me on my bio.link/podcaster. Until next week, take care.